Good morning, everybody. Oh, it's good to hear you guys and see you guys. Welcome to our campuses. And if you're joining us online, Beaver Creek, I hope you're hearing me because the power went out. And if you're not hearing me, then guys, let's pray for Beaver Creek because the power went out. Springboro, welcome. Northmont Classics. It's awesome to have our church gathering around God's word together. And it's my privilege and honor to be able to just be a vessel for God to speak through his word to us this morning. I'm going to be honest with you. I need this message probably more than anyone who hears it other than me. I mean, I need it so much today and in my life. And so I just want to maybe, hopefully that's an encouragement to you because it's not about my wisdom. It's about God's wisdom today. And so as we continue in this series, Unto Us, we've been like kind of building up to this week. We've been building up to a gift that I want to talk to you about. A gift that I just think is amazing. Before we get to that, I want to ask you, did you get everything you wanted? Did you get everything that was on your list? Well, yeah, we got some yeses. All right. I know there's probably a little bit of disappointment too. One of my favorite gifts that I got was actually not the gift, but what was attached to the gift this year. My daughter made a handmade little card just for me on the gift. And she draws these little characters and they're the cutest thing. And so that will live as a picture on my phone and also just in our house in a displayed area for probably the next, forever. So if you come over, I'll show it to you. It'd be awesome. But you know, as a parent, whenever you receive something like that, man, it's amazing because it's made just for you by your child and just an awesome gift. But I wanted to ask you what maybe if you got everything you wanted and maybe if you didn't, or maybe if you did, what if there's one more gift that is available to you that would change everything? That's what we're talking about today. We're talking about a gift that can change everything. A gift that was prepared, lovingly prepared for you by a God who cares more than you can know about who you are and what you're going through. We're gonna talk about that gift. And so today, as we wrap up the Unto Us series, we're ending with a verse that we really began and we've been talking about this whole series. You see, Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us, unto us." That's where it starts. And we're going to finish this series where it ends. Let me read it for you. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father." And here's where we're going to be spending our time today. Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. That's who God is to us. See, the gift that's promised to you by the one who has endless amounts of it is peace. God wants to give you peace. The Prince of Peace, he will hook you up with a healthy amount of peace at the end of this year and into the new year, if we're willing to receive it. We're gonna get into that today. But what is peace? Why is everyone looking for it? I mean, everyone's looking for peace, right? Everybody's looking for this peace. There's like a million ads on every podcast that I listen to that says, and you can find peace through BetterHelp. And you download this app and you know, and maybe you need that. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but man, I'm hearing about peace from all angles. And if you think about it, every religious system in the world is trying to help you get peace. They're promising it in a lot of ways. But at the very heart of the Christian faith is one who's called the Prince of Peace. And that, my friends, is what we're gonna talk about today. How this gift through Jesus Christ is made available to you if you would just accept it, and it's peace. See, peace, everyone's looking for it because peace is valuable. Have you ever heard this statement or maybe slogan from some company? You can't put a price on peace of mind. Usually it's for an expensive product, but you can't put a price on peace of mind. I have found that to be very true. This is a priceless gift. To have peace of mind? Yeah, sign me up. After the year that we've gone through, maybe you're feeling like, yeah, I could use some peace. What if 2025, or just a few days away, became the year of peace for us, for you, for me? I want that so badly. I want it to be a year filled with peace. Peace in my life, peace in the world around me, peace in my relationships. But here's what I'm learning. I'm learning that peace is a gift that I have to receive before anything else. We look for peace in a lot of different places. I mean, I have looked for peace throughout my life in a lot of different ways. And some of them are kind of fun. Some of them are kind of good. I'm gonna talk to you about eight ways in just a moment, eight places we seek out peace. They're not bad places, but can I tell you about a story of one of the places? This place is amazing. It is absolutely 8 minutes of peace for anyone who goes in, all right? You walk in through those doors. I discovered this place when I was in college, and college students, you know, finals week, you need 8 minutes of peace. You've been studying hard. You need some energy and something that'll just help you out. Well, I'm gonna tell you about a place if that's you. In 2009, I was a college student and I walked into a wonderful place and experienced 8 minutes of pure bliss. 8 minutes of all my problems dissipated. No more, all gone. And that place is Chipotle. I'm telling you what, they prepare a gift for you in Chipotle in that line. And in 2009, man, this place, like, they really filled it with some stuff, all right? They just piled it on there. They're like, you want chicken? I'll just give you some more. You know, you look like you could use some more. It's finals week. They knew. So as a college student in Chicago, I walked into Chipotle once a day, all right, to get my 8 minutes of peace because I needed some peace. Friends, we look for peace in all kinds of places, and whether you add guac or not, maybe Chipotle is a peaceful place for you. Maybe it's not. That's all right. But we look for peace in a lot of places. Here's eight places that I think we look for peace. Eight places we look for peace. Where do you find peace? Maybe you see one of these as a place that you go. Actual places. Whether it's a natural setting like an ocean or the mountains or a quiet spot that you know in a park, maybe a quiet room in your home, there's a place that you go physically and you find peace. Maybe it's passion. You're immersing yourself and you find peace in the hobby that you've taken up or a creative pursuit that you have. Maybe you find peace in performance, delivering the perfect results, strategizing to get ahead in some way. Maybe you find peace through processes, that order and routine and systems bring calm in your life. That if you could just get everything neat enough in your house or in your life, you'll have peace. Maybe you find peace through provision, feeling secure and having enough for who you want to be and the people that are around you to provide for them. Maybe you find peace in partnerships. Maybe in relationships, if everything's working out with you and your spouse or you and your kids, or if all these relationships, you and your friends, or if there's no turmoil or distrust or something that's getting in the way, then you'll have peace if you can just work through those relational things. Do you find peace in perspective? Like if I can just have the right perspective, reframing the challenges of my life to see them from the right perspective, then I'll have peace. Adopting gratitude and mindfulness and all kinds of different ways, changing your perspective to find peace. Maybe you find peace through preservation, through preserving your physical body in every way that you can by eating the right things, making sure you don't do the wrong things, by making sure you take the right supplements at all the right times and that everything's aligned in your calendar just so that you can live a healthy life. We find peace in these places. And like I said, maybe they're not bad. But I would argue today that it is not complete. And certainly our starting point as followers of Jesus and those who study the scriptures will see that our starting point is actually much different. that these are just additions to where real peace comes from, the Prince of Peace. So, friends, when we look at these eight different places, realize that the world is only capable of giving us peace of mind based on good circumstances. The world will seek to take your troubles away through all of these methods with varying amounts of success. And our enemy, the devil, is quite satisfied with us having peace of mind through worldly endeavors and pursuits. He will let us be peaceful through the world's offerings so long as it does not include the Prince of Peace. He will do everything in his might to distract you from the peace that's available as a free gift from God, prepared perfectly for you and offered to you with endless amounts. You see, the Prince of Peace, having peace that comes from him, that's an eternal peace. It's never ending. It will never fail. And it's what we are all really searching for. That's what I'm searching for. It starts with this peace. It starts with peace that comes from Jesus. All the rest of it, man, it's just adding on top of it. I believe it comes through the Prince of Peace to truly be lasting. Friends, I'm learning that peace isn't found in a place. It's received as a gift. Peace isn't found in a place. It's received as a gift. If you'll turn there, or if you pull up the notes, John 14:27. Jesus, the night before he is crucified, he's hours away from being betrayed, the hours away from a really painful death. He is concerned with his followers, his closest friends, and he's concerned with us. He's giving us a message that's so important for you and me as we face a new year with all kinds of uncertainties. I mean, when we face a new week with all kinds of uncertainties, or a new day, maybe you're feeling like, man, I'm not even like, I don't want to talk about 2025, let's talk about the 30th, you know? We got a couple days before we get there. Jesus, before his death, is more concerned, not with his own well-being, but with our well-being and our peace. This is what he says to his disciples in John 14:27. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." I believe this verse tells us that God wants to give us his peace. We need him to reveal it. So would you bow with me just at all of our campuses? Just like, let's just bow and ask God to reveal this kind of peace through his word to us. Lord Jesus, you are the Prince of Peace. Lord, a relationship with you brings peace that surpasses understanding. Lord, we want that desperately. We need that desperately. Would you teach it to us today? That you have offered us this gift that will change everything. It's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Jesus says, "I give you my peace." So what is this peace that we really need? It's this peace right here. It's peace with God. The peace we really need is peace with God. You see, in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You may not have thought about this being the first place you need peace. Like sometimes when you're in the middle of chaos, you're like, I just need peace in this moment. God, will you just give me peace in this moment? But if you've asked and prayed that prayer, that God would change something, and you haven't addressed this need for peace, then we're putting the cart before the horse. We need peace with God. Jesus came as a baby, as we've rehearsed through the Christmas story so many times. He came as a baby. He lived a life filled with temptation and trial, yet did not sin. He took upon himself the just punishment for my sin upon himself on the cross. And by his power, he rose from the grave, bringing new life. But I am separated from God without Jesus. I am in conflict with God. The scriptures tell us that we are enemies with God, but while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. And we didn't do anything to deserve this. So, the first peace we need is peace with God. This is primary to all other peace. If you don't have peace here, you can't have peace anywhere else, really. I love this quote from D.L. Moody, one of my favorite guys. He said, "A great many people are trying to make peace, but that has already been done. God has not left it for us to do. All we have to do is enter into it." You see, the scriptures tell us what D.L. Moody put plainly, that we can't do it. We can't make peace within us. We can't make peace enough to satisfy a God who is just. I'm broken, and only a perfect sacrifice could make me new and give me this peace. And his name is Jesus, and we call him the Prince of Peace. I mean, this is just amazing, friends. So this peace will make no sense. I mean, the peace that you can carry throughout the next year, throughout the next day, throughout your life with the help of the Holy Spirit was bought by Jesus. And it will make no sense to the rest of the world. It will make no sense. Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It's only through him that we can have this kind of peace. It's only through him. So, this means that in our human minds, we can't grasp this peace. We can't reach out and get it for ourselves. It has to be given to us. It's not our peace. It's actually his. It's Christ's peace. The very peace between Jesus and the Father is given to you. Let that sink in. That the very peace of Jesus and the Father, the peace that they experience in their relationship, you cannot pull them apart. And I can't wrap my mind around that, because all my relationships look drastically different than that. But I am given this kind of relationship with God the Father through Jesus, the same peace that he has with that God the Father we get. That's amazing, and that's good news. "My peace I leave with you," Jesus says. Jesus is sharing his peace with the Father with us. He's bringing you into his peace. And we desperately need that. We are helpless without Jesus. Only his peace. Only by his work. And from this, we get other peace that we need. First, we need peace with God. But the other peace we really need is a reflection of Jesus. Peace within. Peace within. When you have that peace settled with God, peace within becomes possible. And Jesus lived a life filled with peace, and so can we. This verse just, I think, pictures that so well. The psalmist writes in Psalm 4:8, "In peace I both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." All peace, inner peace. There might be some practices and some things and places you go that help you reframe your mind, but remember, you're reframing your mind not around something other than Jesus, the Prince of Peace. So if you want inner peace, it starts with peace with God through Jesus. This inner peace is so hard to do, and yes, going to certain places and practicing certain things will help. Talking to people and being community, that's why we say we build deep relationships, because we do need that. But remembering that the Lord is the source of all peace is so important. And friends, let's be honest, guilt and shame is something that will haunt us. It follows you around for a long time, sometimes year after year. If you're dealing with the same shame that you dealt with at the beginning of the year that you are now, take it before Jesus. He wants to meet you right there. His grace is sufficient for whatever you've done or whatever you're facing. I know it full well. There's been times, I don't know what it is about being 35, you know, but somewhere in the last like year or two, three, I don't know, I start waking up. You know, what's up with that? Like, I just wake up. I don't know what's on my mind, something. Like, did I turn off the light? Did I lock the door? Is that thing that I did in middle school still bugging that guy? You know, little stuff. It'll wake me up and I'll just be thinking about it. Don't you want? In peace I both lie down and sleep. For you, O Lord, alone, make me dwell in safety. When I wake up now, I try not to think about all the things I probably should have done, and the list is pretty long. And I just start meditating on these verses. God, in you alone I find peace. In you alone I find security. I lift these things before God. Peace within comes from peace with God, and it comes through Jesus, and we can live a life filled with inner peace. The other peace we need is peace with others. See, Jesus, he was a peacemaker. I mean, everywhere he went, like he did this crazy stuff that none of the other religious people of his time were doing. They would get together, he would get together with sinners and people that they were like, you shouldn't be talking to them. You know what they do? You know, he took a tax collector named Levi and made him one of his closest followers. We're gonna read from the book he wrote about Jesus in just a minute. Jesus did all this stuff. He made peace where like most people would go, ah, there's no hope there. Jesus made peace, and we are called to live lives that are filled with a kind of peace that makes peace everywhere we go. In Matthew, I just mentioned this guy, he wrote a teaching of Jesus in Matthew 5, verse 9. In one of Jesus' most famous sermons, he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Do you realize you become just like Jesus when you make peace with someone who's wronged you? You make peace with somebody or with other people, and you become more like Jesus. He always forgives. Sometimes that's really difficult. But it's how we get peace with others sometimes. And if we've wronged somebody, man, we need to admit that, to admit the wrong, repent from it, and ask for forgiveness. Whatever we must do to create peace for people, that's what God wants us to do. That's what changing the trajectory of our lives looks like through peace. I mean, if you're not living a peaceful life, maybe there's some people that you need to call up and say, I'm sorry. If you're not feeling peace in your life, maybe there's some things that you, maybe some notes you need to write. I don't know if you need to send them or not, but maybe there's some things to just create peace. God wants us to share the peace that we have been given, and boy, we don't deserve it. So if you've been putting something in between you and peace with somebody, really consider it. Bring it before God, ask him for your help, because he gave you greater peace than you will ever have to give to anyone else. He's forgiven more than you will ever have to forgive. And that might be really hard to hear, but he has. He has forgiven us so much. So, peace with others, it stems from understanding the peace that we have been given from God. Friends, the first step in experiencing this peace is knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus is the first step in experiencing a peace that lasts, a peace that lasts through anything. It may not be the only step in experiencing a life filled with peace, one that's described as just filled with peace, but it's certainly the first, and it is the one that I believe you must have to have any other lasting peace. For your eternal peace must not be found in your striving, but in Christ's work and grace toward you. It's all about Jesus creating this gift for you to accept and receive. Not about you striving, not about, friends, I've had the incredible honor of being with a few saints who have taken their last breaths here in this world and taking their first steps into heaven. And when they have this peace, man, it is a different experience. Friends, you can have that peace that no matter what you face, but you don't need to strive for it. You don't need to keep reaching and trying every single thing and going to all these places, because it is a gift that you simply have to accept. If you're tired of looking for peace and working for it and feeling like you just can't get it because of circumstances or trials or turn after turn after turn, it's taking you into calamity or chaos or maybe poor decisions on your part. Jesus wants to meet you in the midst of that. He does not say, clean yourself up first before you come to me. He says, come to me, Matthew 11:28. All who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. You'll find peace. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Friends, if you're tired, just come to Jesus. You don't need to get cleaned up. You don't need to like work out before you come. He doesn't need you to be stronger. He is our strength. He is our peace. It's literally his peace. You know, he meets us. When it says he's gentle and lowly in heart, it means he meets us in our lowest places. I mean, what do you need more than a gentle, loving person who's not afraid to get a little dirty to clean you up? God took it all upon himself so that you could have peace. Friends, I'm also learning that this rest that's talked about and this peace that's talked about is not the absence of activity, it's actually the essence in activity. Peace is not the absence of activity, it's the essence in and through activity. Peace is not the absence of conflict or tension or problems. Who got problems? I know a guy who had 99 of them, all right? And that was for the young people, I think. All right, now my brain's off. Okay, peace may be the essence that we actually carry into every circumstance. You face problems, you face trials, you can carry peace that surpasses all understanding through Jesus into your activity. And rest is not just not working. And peace is not meaning you're never gonna have conflict or tension. To be a peacemaker means that you actually are somewhere where there needs to be peace, which means there's conflict and tension. Lord, teach us to be that. To be peacemakers. Before we can be peacemakers and be the sons of God, we must first, primarily, find this place where peace is required. It's between you and God. I want to spend some time here because peace isn't found in a place that's received as a gift. But a gift is only good if you receive it. See, peace is a gift you must accept and receive. Maybe this happened to you this week. I'm really sorry if it did. Did you prepare a gift for somebody? You wrapped it, you thought it through, you were like, man, you spent money on it. You're thinking, oh, this person, they're gonna love this. And you wrapped it and you did your best job. And if it's like me, it still looked a little bad. You wrapped it with love and you gave it to them and they said, I can't accept this. And you try to convince them out of your goodness of your heart to just, like, it's just out of the goodness of my heart. So I just want to bless you with this. And they just say no. And they turn away and they leave. they don't accept the gift. And that gives you just a little bit of the feeling that I believe God has whenever we don't accept this gift. And he works so hard for it. He gave it all for you and for me to have peace. All we have to do is enter into it and accept it. There's a man I just learned of that refused a gift. A very costly gift, a life-changing gift. In the 1830s, there was a man named George Wilson. He was convicted of robbing a mail carrier in the United States and was sentenced to death. However, President Andrew Jackson granted him a pardon, but surprisingly, Wilson refused to accept it. And everyone was like, can he do that? Like, the president said this guy's free, but this guy's going, I'm not free. I'm not doing it. I can't accept this pardon. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court at the time, his name was John Marshall. Here's the opinion that he delivered when they were brought with this case on can you actually refuse a presidential pardon. He stated that a pardon is a deed, and like any deed, it is not complete until it is delivered and accepted. If the recipient chooses not to accept the pardon, it has no power. You can have the most powerful person in the world free you from jail, but you cannot accept it. And you can void it of any power in your life. In the end, just to finish the story up, Wilson spent 10 more years in jail serving hard labor before he accepted a full pardon from Martin Van Buren. But this story got me thinking. God offers us a gift that will change our life. It will free us. Through Jesus, you can have peace. You can have salvation. And it's a gift given to you. You don't have to work for it. You just have to accept it. If you accept and receive this gift, it will transform your life. It will transform your life. It'll transform your eternity. So, have you accepted this gift? Have you accepted the free gift of God's grace, forgiveness, and his peace? He's the Prince of Peace. He has lovingly and graciously prepared this gift for you. All you have to do is accept it humbly. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you will be saved. Make Jesus the Prince of Peace in your life, the only one who can give you true, lasting, eternal peace. It's the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, and he offers it to you freely. When we accept this gift, he rules and reigns all the peace for you and I. So, accept this gift and enter into his peace. If you want to do that today, if you haven't done that, wherever you find yourself, if you're online, you can hop in the chat. Somebody will talk with you about it. If you're here, just come forward at the end. There'll be people that would be thrilled to tell you more about following Jesus and pray with you. If you're wondering, man, have I really accepted this gift? My life doesn't feel super peaceful, but I feel like I've accepted it. I'm there with you. I've got things in my life that, man, they sidetrack my peace all the time. And I know that through his word, God can reshape us. And so we put together a Bible memory plan for 2025. A different verse every single week, 52 verses that you can memorize or you can read. And if 52 sounds like too much, just start with one and see how far you get. Seriously, if we meditate on his peace, I believe it will change everything about who we are, that we will be peacemakers everywhere we go, that we will carry this peace everywhere. You can find that through the app or in the notes. You can just click the link and join me as I try to memorize as many of those 52 verses as I can. because I know God will change things in me continually over time. You can go through the ups and downs of this new year, not striving for peace, but with the Prince of Peace through his Holy Spirit, giving you peace in every moment, because peace isn't found in a place. It's received as a gift. Would you bow? Let me pray for you. Jesus, our Prince of Peace, our wonderful counselor and mighty God, you have the power to change everything in our lives. You have the power to solve problems. You have the power to make us new, to change our perspective. That in the midst of chaos, we can have peace that surpasses understanding. Lord, would you make us a people of your peace? That you would reign in our hearts and minds, in our actions, in our relationships, in all the things that we've tried to strive for peace in, Lord, would you bring peace? For it's by your power that we actually find peace, Jesus. It's in his holy and precious name we pray. The church said, amen.